that this past Monday and Tuesday was pretty tough on Dad. just your son has never flown, and he's going through, you know, all these TSA stops. You know, that's the transportation safety people. And then nobody's with him. I think it would have helped if someone that was like a missionary or had flown there before, you know, that helps. But just being completely by himself. And it wasn't a lack of confidence in Jason. It was just like, you know, that little bit of nervousness. And then flying out of Dulles, you know, it wasn't exactly like the Williamstown Airport or the Clarksburg Airport, which we both, you know, are somewhat familiar with. You know, a little tidy. You got one gate, maybe two gates, maybe, you know. So it was a pretty big place to start with. And then once he flew out of there, flying to Amsterdam in the Netherlands. And, you know, at times, of course, he couldn't talk while he was in the air, communicate. But when he landed, he'd usually communicate with us a little bit. And then going to Paris, and, you know, we were looking at maps through the night and different things. Because he landed in Paris, was it like 2:30 in the morning or something our time? I forget. But, you know, didn't get a whole lot of sleep Monday night. And we're watching the phone, and sometimes we have coverage, sometimes we don't. You know, sometimes find my iPhone and where he's at, where he's not. And then he did land in Paris, and then he, you know, we had a map we sent him, and I'm sure he was Googling it too, because they say how big it is, you know, to go from one gate to the other. And a lot of things through this, we could see God answer in prayer. We'd pray that, you know, he'd have the kindest TSA person there. You know, Lord, if you have to juggle schedules, whatever you got to do, just make. And Ryan, Jason, he didn't, I don't think, knew we prayed that. And he texted, he said, I think I had the kindest TSA agent ever. And, you know, and things, he said all the TSA people were great. And then, you know, then he landed there in Abidjan, which is in the Ivory Coast. And we got a text that he arrived. And then we got a text that he had to have the yellow fever shot or the vaccination. And see, the reason we didn't have it up front was because the missionary said it's kind of outdated. You know, yellow fever is not really a thing over here anymore, but still sometimes they require it. They may or may not. So we were hoping, we're not huge vaccination people, so we were really hoping that he wouldn't have to take it at all. So that's the reason we didn't do anything in the States. And he said, well, if you do need it, and they tell you, you know, it's not a witch doctor. You know, it's someone that will give you And he said, I was in line, and everybody was speaking French. He said, there was one guy that was from England. He said, I talked to him a little bit. He's like, hey, you speak English? Yeah. And so they were communicating. But he said the nurse came around, and she was speaking French, and he didn't have his yellow card, which means you got your yellow fever vaccination. So he texted, there's something a little sketchy about this. And he said that they took me in a room, a dark room, and then they had like two or three flashlights that they were holding in there and gave him a shot. And then after that, after he texted that, as best to my memory, about that time, we lost coverage with him. And we couldn't track him much other than the general area. And, you know, sometimes people have weird reactions to vaccinations. I know Ryan took one time. He had a funny reaction. We had to go back to the doctor's office because he was getting kind of dizzy. So you just never know. And so your mind starts, you've been there, done that probably in a similar situation. The mind starts going like, okay, did he collapse? Did he faint? Did he die? We don't know what he did. You know, we're not getting any cell coverage. We can't, on the Find My iPhone, it just kind of shows a general area that he's still somewhere there at the airport. And there was probably 2 or 3 hours that I did a lot of praying. I did a lot of praying both days, really. But, you know, I was like, Lord, you know, help me to get a hold of him. I want to know. I just want to know that he's okay, if he can just text or whatever. And then finally, like I said, probably 3 hours later, finally he texted and said that we're staying the night in a motel, me and the missionary, and his son, the missionary's son. And he said that's about an hour from where we were at the airport. We got a 3-hour trip to go on. But, you know, there's things like this in our life. You know, you feel kind of helpless. I mean, it's like, what are you going to do? You know, and I looked this up from, like, Bridgeport right in that area. We are 5,160 miles away from our youngest son. 5,160 miles. That's a far piece. And I don't care what they say, West Africa is not near West Virginia. And you feel, there's a point to this, and you feel helpless, and you feel like, in a sense, a human weakness. It's like, what in the world can I do? So believe me, I was praying a lot to the God of the universe, saying, God, you got to take care of this. God, you got to look at it. Send your angels. Look after him. Protect him. I pray that there's no reaction to this. I pray that everything will be good. And thankfully, everything is good. You know, I mean, anything can happen. But, you know, he made it. He is there with the missionary now. He showed us where he's going to be staying in the basement of their home. It seems like a pretty nice. He said we even have a window air conditioner. If it gets hot down here to sleep, we can plug it in. And what is it? Is he on the first floor? I thought he was in the basement, but I figured it. Okay. But anyway, it looks pretty. It looks pretty nice and modern and everything good. And he seems to be doing fine. Very tired. So pray about that. But the point is, are there times in life that we feel almost helpless? Maybe it's not about our kids. Maybe it's about a health condition we have. Maybe it's a struggle that we have. And we're like, Lord, I don't know what else to do. You know, it's completely upon you. It was funny. I did text some of my preacher friends and other friends that I have, you know, and said, hey, you know, please pray for Jason. And gave him I updated him three times. You know, this is what's going to happen. This is what is happening. And he made it safely. And what a blessing they were. A lot of their comments back about Jason and about, you know, the Lord and all that. And one of my friends, I'll not say who, and hopefully he won't mind me sharing this, but a friend of mine that is not here in our church, but he said, I was talking about parenting and it was hard on us. He said, I never realized until becoming a parent, this is what he wrote, how much harder it is on this side. He said, as a child or young man, I was always 10 foot tall and bulletproof. As a dad, I'm concerned about my 22-year-old son driving down to the grocery store. Being a parent is one of our biggest blessings and hardest job ever. One thing it has done is to cause me to lean more on our Lord and Savior, which I'm sure is what our Lord is really wanting or is wanting all along. You know, in those times that we feel weak and we feel like there's nothing we can do, that's when we can really rely upon God. And I thought about this, and I know I'm in a series on heaven, but that's going to be put on hold. I really felt God gave me something to share with you tonight through what we've been through the last few days. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Pretty familiar passage, and I think we can learn a few things. Title of the message tonight, The Blessings of Being Weak. The blessings of being weak. Now, I want to clarify that, being weak. When I say that, the blessings of being weak, I'm not talking about being wimpy, all right? I'm not talking about being a spiritual wimp. You know, like, well, there's a great blessing. I'm a wimp and I don't care to grow, but that's not the point. But there are times when we go through things that we feel weak. We feel very inadequate to handle the situation. We feel almost helpless. But is there a silver lining to those moments that we feel that way? And whether, again, it has something to do with our kids, whether it has something to do with our health or our finances or a relationship problem or whatever, we're like, wow, what can I do? And we feel weak, again, and inadequate. And I think we can learn some things tonight from the blessings of being weak. And being weak in ourselves is what I'm speaking of. And I want to start out by, so that you won't feel like, you know, this is only for a specific situation, I want you to jump down to verse 10. When do we sometimes feel weak? Now, Paul gives us, as he writes to the Corinthian church, he gives us some situations where he has felt weak and he needs the Lord. It's found in verse 10. It says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Infirmities. Now, that could be illnesses, but that could be any time that we're weak, right? And he says, not only in infirmities, but in reproaches. When people are against you, kind of like relationship problems. Whenever there's relationship problems or people are against us in any way, and we feel totally inadequate and weak to handle it. And it says, in necessities, in the needs of life. If I feel like, no, I don't believe God's people will have a lack of what they really need, but I think sometimes in our mind, we're like, I don't have what I need. I need more. So what do we do in situations like that? Paul says, well, I've been there, done that, in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions. Now, that's probably the one we know the least about, because persecution, talking about really, why would we be persecuted more for the cause of Christ, right? And fortunately, we live in a country that's pretty accepting of Christianity, but not completely. It says, in distresses. You know, that's related to the word, at least in English, as we look at the word distresses, to the word stress. It's actually got it in there, right? You ever felt stressed? Well, that's pretty good, probably a pretty good description of me Monday and Tuesday, a little bit stressed. But when we're in those times that we feel a little bit uneasy about things, a little bit stressed out, a little bit problem. Y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. Y'all still with me? Everybody still follow me? One concern I have with this is I know what I want to say and I know what God wants me to say, but I want to make sure that I can communicate it clearly, because sometimes that's hard. But he says, in necessities and persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Now I know it says for Christ's sake, and I know you're thinking automatically that's talking about any of these things that I suffer for Christ's sake. But if we're a child of God, we're going to go through those things, right? And it really is for Christ's sake in a sense, because it's going to help us in the long run. Y'all agree with that? All right. But what are the blessings of being weak? And we'll go back to verse 10 in a moment, but I wanted to say, when do we actually feel weak? Infirmities and weaknesses, in reproaches, or people against us, in necessities, maybe needs that we feel we have, in persecutions, and in distresses, or in situations where we're stressed out. But notice verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, what's been before this? In the context of this, Paul says, 14 years ago, there was a man that had a vision of heaven. That's what he said. And he's talking about himself. And he said, in verse 2, if you have it, it says, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. So this he's talking about himself, okay? He say, I was caught up into the third heaven, whether in the body, I'm not sure, whether I'm not really sure. But this could really puff me up. This could really make me think I'm something. Because how many people have that type of experience, being caught up into heaven itself? But then he stops here in verse 7 and says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, talking about these revelations into heaven that he had. Now remember, he's an apostle, okay? I don't expect any of us to have a revelation of heaven, all right? We have God's completed word. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. But he said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, guess what God allowed? There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. You know, you say, well, what exactly is that thorn in the flesh? I think we hit upon this a little bit when we talked about prayer and asking God for things. And it says he in the next verse, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Well, I believe the thorn in the flesh was probably Paul's eyesight. Now, there's others that believe different, and I'm not going to die on this point. I'm not going to fight over this point. Some says it could be even somebody that's a thorn in the flesh. I know a little bit about that. But it could be somebody that's a thorn in his flesh. It could be emotional issues, a thorn in his flesh. It could be an issue that's a thorn in his flesh. But I really believe if I had to lean toward one or the other, it would be his eyesight. If you have your Bibles, you say, well, what makes you think that? If you go to the book of Galatians, the next book over, Galatians. Look at chapter 4 and verse 15. And again, this is not a huge, huge point, but I believe it adds a little bit of weight to the argument that it could have been his eyesight. It says, where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Now, as he's writing to the Galatian church, He said, you know, basically he's implying like, you know, or you could take it this way. Since my eyes I'm having a hard time seeing, or things like, you love me so much, you were willing, you would have given me your own eyes if you could have. And then go over to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 11. It says, as he closes the letter to the Galatian local church, notice what he says, ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. Did you see that? How large a letter. Now, it could absolutely be in length, but some people take that to mean he wrote real big because his eyesight was having problems. Again, it's no huge point, but if that gives you an understanding, that would be a difficult thing. Bruce, that's a difficult thing, isn't it? That's not great. That's putting a positive spin on it. Yeah, I mean, imagine all the ministry that Paul had to do for the Lord. And if you can't see, you know, I get frustrated. I know this is nowhere near, if Paul's ailment was an eye problem, and nowhere near what Bruce is. But I get a little frustrated when I try to see things I can't see. Like I said the other day, I went to vote, and I was in front of the monitor, and I forgot my glasses in the car. And, you know, I had to get up like that and squint a little bit and try to see. That's a bit, that would hinder your ministry. So if it was that, I mean, that's a pretty big deal, don't you think? But what blessing can we glean from that? In verse 7, you know what we can allow it to do when we find ourselves weak in ourselves? It can teach us humility. You know, if Paul could have been puffed up because of the revelations that he saw, he says that God allowed me, lest I be exalted above measure, let me go through this so that I could be humbled. And say, God evidently allowed Satan to do this. God didn't do it, but he allowed it, lest I should be exalted above measure. And you see, we as humans sometimes, we like to puff ourselves up and think we're a whole lot more than we are. You know, and I'm talking about us, and we know some. We see people on television sometimes, they think they're God's answer to the planet. And I've known people in churches think they're God's answer, God's blessing to the whole church. Really. I mean, I'm not being mean, but, you know, they feel a little bit too highly about themselves, that they're it. I'm telling you right now, I'm not it, okay? I am not it. But let me tell you, sometimes when we go through these times that we feel so weak and helpless, it can help us realize it. Guess what? I'm not the center of the universe. That's what we used to tell the boys whenever they, you know, do something and they wanted something. I said, well, best I can tell, boys, the universe is not revolving around you. So, no, we cannot do that. You know, that we got other people to consider and think. You know, and sometimes when we go through weaknesses and things, again, ailments, financial problems, relationship problems, whatever it might be, we feel like, I'm helpless. What am I going to do? It can teach us humility. We're like, I can't fix it. You know, we have micromanagers in life, and some people, I got to get my hands on it. I want to fix it. You know, I mean, that's their mission they feel in life, is to fix everything. News flash. There are certain things you can't fix. And when we realize that, it can truly teach us humility. Everybody good on that? Everybody understand what I'm saying there? I believe that's exactly what Paul was saying. Is sometimes things like that happen. He allows a thorn in the flesh, a problem where we feel so weak, to teach us humility. Secondly, in verse 8, when he said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. You know, weakness, human weakness sometimes, when we find ourselves in those places of weakness, it teaches us to pray. I tell you, some of my most fervent prayers has been when I felt the weakest, you know? And sometimes you're like, Lord, I don't exactly even know how to pray, God, but I pray that you'll take care of the situation, right? And that's when we're driven to our knees, isn't it? A lot of times when we feel so weak and helpless and I can't fix it, I can't put a Band-Aid on it, there's nothing in the world, my brilliance is not going to fix the problem. So God, I'm going to bring it to you. And I guarantee you, you say, why did he only ask three times? I believe, Paul, that's a good question, that is. Because, you know, we've known people, I've known one family in particular that at one time years and years ago that said, I think you only need to ask God one time. Well, I don't. I think you need to ask God as many times as you want to ask God. But I believe Paul, as an apostle, again, this is a little bit different time frame, right, in the apostolic time. I think God just told him, this is it. And I'm not going to take it away. So Paul just said, I'm going to live with it. So I asked him three times, and he let me know. However he let me know, I believe Paul would say, nope, not going to go away. But there's a real value in this weakness, and I believe it taught Paul to pray. Do you think Paul's a good prayer? Absolutely. Do you think he'd become a little better prayer because of the weakness he had with this thorn in the flesh? Again, you know, we can just lead all thorn in the flesh, he's having a few eye problems, or whatever it might have been. No, I think it was pretty serious. Whatever it was pretty serious. And it affected his ministry for God. And he might have spent the first prayer or two saying, Lord, I don't understand this. And as I've told you before, as long as you have the right attitude, you know, I don't agree with people who say, well, you can never question God. No, I mean, listen, I think God is a big enough God to take my questions. Seriously. And you got to understand what I'm saying. We don't go to God and shake our fist at God and say, God, you know, I'm saying humbly before God, say, God, teach me why this is happening. Help me to understand this better. You know, like, Lord, why is this situation the way? I mean, I think God is a big enough God. He's not going to be intimidated by me asking a question out of a humble heart about something that's happening in my life. Y'all agree with that? So the blessings of being weak, according to this passage, it teaches us humility. It teaches us to pray. Thirdly, verse 9, the first part, it teaches us about God's grace. It teaches us about God's grace. Notice what he said, and he said unto me, what was God's response to Paul asking three times that the thorn in the flesh would depart? In my Bible, there are words in red. God spoke to him in some way again and said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, I believe he said, that's all right. I'm teaching you some things about God's grace. You know, when you don't have your hand in something to fix it, and God fixes it, you're like, wow. I mean, seriously, like when Jason texted us that I'm okay, I'm with the missionary, I'm like, whew. And that's a real picture because God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is all we need. That unmerited blessing and goodness of God is sufficient for anything we go through. And knowing that God is so good, we can go through those things, don't you think? It teaches us about God's grace. Let me tell you, I'll say it one more time. We cannot fix all the problems in our life. So when we are weak, and when Paul said, please, Lord, take away this thorn in the flesh. Please, Lord, take away this thorn in the flesh. Please, Lord, take, and I think his prayers were probably a lot more involved than that. Take away this thorn in the flesh. But three times, God said, hey, listen, my grace is sufficient. You can trust me on this. You can lean on me in this. I will take care of everything. You think your ministry is going to be slowed down? Guess what? Your ministry is going to be sped up because you're going to understand me more and understand my grace more to share with the world that you've been called to go to. I like those words of Jesus, don't you? Or the words of the Lord, my grace is sufficient. The blessings of being weak. I don't think any of us say, well, I look forward to those moments when I'm weak and helpless. I don't think we'd say that. But when they come and when God allows it, there are actually some blessings, some silver lining. It teaches us humility. It teaches us to pray. It teaches us about God's grace. Fourthly, it teaches us about God's power. God's power. You know, just as dogmatically as I tell you, you can't fix everything. I can dogmatically look up to God and say, God, I know you can fix everything. And you can fix anything, and there's nothing too big for you. And notice it says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my what? My strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, I have the power to handle the situation. And when you finally figured out that you can't, and you turn it over to me in prayer, and you trust my grace, guess what? I am going to show you amazing things. I am going to show you what I can really do. Isn't that pretty big? Some of you look a little perplexed. Everybody still with me? It teaches us about God's power. And I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody tries to debate. I don't care what any of these educated fools try to write to me in magazines or books or whatever. I don't really care what they think. I know that my God is all-powerful. And I know my God can do anything, and I don't have to limit him. And people that try to go through the miracles in the Bible and try to say, oh, it didn't really happen that way. I bet this is really the way. I don't think he really fed the 5,000 plus the women and children. I think what it was a miracle of sharing. Because, you know, he started the sharing with the little boy's lunch, but all the others just saw it and they broke out their lunch. And they, no. That's not the way it happened. I serve a God who's all powerful. And God said, I can do it. And when you're weak and you can't handle it, guess what? I can. And I really don't think we'll see that he can until we realize that we can't. You see, it teaches us about God's power. He goes on in verse 9. He says, most gladly, therefore, Paul writing again, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities. He wrote it all, but the ones previous was the words of the Lord. But he said, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of God may rest upon me. Wow. So when I'm weak, the power of God is there. Boy, isn't that good? I'm going to revel in the fact that I can't handle everything. I'm even going to do the best I can to enjoy the times that I'm weak and I'm helpless and there's things that come up in life. And you say, well, preacher, I don't have any of those. Well, I want to talk to you after church because I think most of us have problems that we don't know how to fix. That's okay. We got a God that knows how to fix it. And God, let me tell you, God will ultimately fix everything. And he says, I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know, a lot of people that have really powerful ministries have been through so much. You know, I think his name was Tim Lee. He was in the military. At some point, you can look up Tim Lee if you want to. You may have run across him. He was in a wheelchair. Best I remember, in Vietnam, he hit a bomb and he lost both legs. And he was able to get up there and he was able to preach, and powerful preacher, about God's power and working through him. I remember David Ring, who has some sort of cerebral palsy. And he kind of stutters in what he says, but powerful. Why is that? Because they've been in times that they're totally helpless. They've relied upon God and they've seen God's power, and now they communicate God's power. Blessings, the blessings of being weak in our own humanness when we can't handle it, when we find ourselves weak and helpless, it teaches us humility, it teaches us to pray, it teaches us about God's grace, it teaches us about God's power, and lastly, it teaches us how to be truly strong. It teaches us how to be truly strong. You know, you can go to the gym every single day. You can go 3 times a day for the rest of your life. But we're not talking about that kind of strength. You could pump that iron. We're talking about where is our real strength? Where is our real power source? It's God. And the quicker we realize that, the better. He says in this, verse 10, therefore I take, what? Now come on, that must be a misprint. I take pleasure in infirmities. I don't think he's saying I enjoy it, but he says, you know what? I can see the silver lining and take pleasure in the fact that God is going to use this, God is going to work in my life, and God is going to be glorified and honored, and I'm going to see his strength and his power, and all these other things are going to happen. Therefore, I take pleasure, and he mentions, in infirmities, weaknesses, in reproaches when people are against me, in necessities, when I have a need that I feel like I need met. In persecutions, when people are against me. In distresses, when I'm stressed out. Guess what? I take pleasure in those times. Why? For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. You say, ah, what was Paul? Paul smoking when he wrote that? Because when I'm weak, then I am strong. What he's talking about is when I am weak in myself, in my own humanity, and cannot handle it, then am I strong because I'm relying upon God's power and strength. Now, I don't know what's going to happen in your life this week. You don't know what's going to happen in your life this week. And I know that there have been times in your life you can look back, yep, I was helpless. I didn't have anywhere to turn but to God. I went through this in this relationship problem. I didn't have anywhere else to go. I couldn't fix it. I tried, and I went to God. And you've been there, done that. But you might be there and do that this coming week or in the next few days. Who knows what kind of news we might get. I'm not a prophet. As I say, I don't know what disease might be in my body right now. Seriously, I don't know. But if the doctor comes in and says, can't do a thing. There's nothing we can do. I know a God that can, if He chooses to. And when I get to the end of, it's really kind of like getting to the end of yourself and saying, okay, Lord, I'm done with trying to fix it. I'm done with trying to handle it myself. I'm turning it 100% lock, stock, barrel, hook, line, sinker, whatever analogy you want to throw in there. I'm turning it all over to You because You are the power. You are the God of the universe, and You can handle this. I would probably describe it when it says, when I make the point, it teaches us how to be truly strong. We realize and have the end of self, and then we begin with God. I can't do it, but I'm turning it over to You. And that's one reason I made me ask what song would be. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus because I can't handle it, but He can. Boy, isn't it great to have a God like that? I mean, wow. I mean, we ought to tell the world about that, don't you think? Tonight, the blessings of being weak. It teaches us humility. It teaches us to pray. It teaches us about God's grace. It teaches us about God's power, and it teaches us how to be truly strong. You see, we'll never be as strong as we need to be until we turn it over to God and let His strength work in and through us. You know, when we have our own human weaknesses, whether it be in sickness or weaknesses, infirmities, reproaches, words, people against us, and things that we see as our own needs, and when people may be against us and persecute us, or even in those stressful times in life, you know what? We ought not be so worried about questioning God why. We should be saying, Lord, would You use this as an opportunity? An opportunity to let me see You more for what You are. It may be an opportunity where I can draw closer to God. And may it be an opportunity that I can truly be strong by saying, get away, old self, brain just shut off, let's just let God handle this. Does that make sense? See, it is an opportunity to be truly strong as we rely upon God. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Let me ask you, perhaps, you're going through one of these times in life that you do feel pretty hopeless and helpless. You're like, I just don't know. I feel pretty weak. I can't fix it. Can I tell you that God is a God who can? God is a God who allows these things in our life. Really, I think to teach us where the real power lies. And allows us to be really, truly strong because of who He is and what He can do. So if you're going through something like that right now and you say, I can't fix it. I feel weak. I feel helpless. And maybe you say, I feel hopeless. But Lord, I want to turn it over to You right now. I pray that You'll take this problem, this stress, this infirmity, whatever it might be, and just turn it into something good and help me to realize that the strength truly is in You. I can't fix it, God. Here it is. Would You fix it? Would You take care of it? And if God doesn't fix it like the thorn in the flesh, we have no record that He fixed this in this life. But let me tell you, God fixed it when Paul went to be with the Lord. He will one day fix it. He might even do it tomorrow if you ask God's prerogative. Would you just turn it over to Him? Paul said, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Turn it over to Him and ask for the Lord's strength. Turn it over to Him and quit stressing over it, quit worrying about it, and say, "Lord, here it is." Would you do that in the silence of the moment? And there could be some people here tonight that are lost, never really trusted Jesus as their Savior. There could be some people listening in by live stream, and you've never ever trusted the Lord as your personal Savior. Let me tell you, if you don't turn your sin over to the Lord and ask Him to forgive you of your sins and ask Him to be your Savior, you are hopeless. You will not handle this yourself. I would ask the Lord to save you right where you are. Mean it from your heart. You can call out to God and say, "God, I'm a sinner. I've done things against you. Forgive me." He'll take out His huge spiritual eraser and wipe all the sins out of your life and forgive you and do away with that guilt and that shame. And then I'd tell Him from your heart, a sincere heart that means this: "I believe that Jesus was your Son, perfect Son, who died upon the cross to pay for my sins and then resurrected back to life. I now confess Jesus as my Savior. He's the one I'm going to follow. He's going to be my leader." And really, you're turning your soul over to the Lord right then and there. Would you do that wherever you might be tonight? Nail that thing down that you've trusted the Lord as your Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You now. We just thank You for Your Bible. Lord, Your awesome, amazing, all-sufficient Bible. Lord, we just thank You that it has all the answers. If we'll just dig in there. Lord, even when we have problems and we feel so helpless or hopeless in life, Lord, You have the answer. The answer is to turn it over to You and quit trying to fix it ourselves. Lord, we just thank You that Paul did that and he recorded that under the direction of Your Holy Spirit there in 2 Corinthians. And Lord, we thank You. Help us to learn from that, Lord. And may it be a blessing to our life. We love and thank You. In Jesus' name we pray.